Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Hi guys, welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so excited to have you here. And more importantly, we are so excited to jump into some amazing content with you guys, starting with the fundamentals of transformation. Now, what we're going to be talking a lot about today is really understanding this concept of the unconscious mind. So Dan, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Yeah, sure. So very first, before we get into the nitty-gritty of things, you got to understand that you do have two different minds. You've got a conscious mind and an unconscious mind, and they are very different. It may seem that it's funny that you have two different sorts of mind patterns going on within the same person. We've got to understand that really, if we want to create change, it's got to be in the right place. And that a lot of people try to create change in their lives by telling themselves or doing conscious processes. And by the end of this episode, you'll learn exactly why that doesn't work. You'll learn a little bit more about the different functions of the unconscious mind, and you'll be aware of it so you can get ready to change it.
Awesome. And yeah, I think a great analogy that I love to use for this, and we'll dive into some of the science of it later in one of the future episodes, is understanding that your unconscious mind, unlike your conscious mind, is like a 5-year-old little boy or girl. If you're a man, it's a boy. If you're a woman, it's a girl. And it takes everything personally. It hears everything. It's always in there. So just understanding that that's part of that unconscious mind. And consciously, as you learn things, as you grow older, you learn to rationalize. But that unconscious part is always there. It's always that little boy or girl inside of you, always hearing and listening to everything that's going on.
Yeah, and there are a number of different things going on with that little boy or girl that are all really important to pay attention to. Because, you know, just like anybody else does, that little boy or girl has its lighter sides, and it also has its darker sides. And it's really important to be able to appreciate both sides. That it's not that one side is good and one side is bad, but like Carl Jung said, we have shadows. We have parts of us that are stored in the unconscious mind that represent all the things we don't like about ourselves, all the things we don't want to be, all the things we're afraid we might be, all sorts of things about ourselves that we kind of don't want to look at, right? But instead of disliking the shadow, we've got to appreciate it and understand that it's really important. The shadow does some really important stuff. And we're going to get into, of course, how to use the shadow in later episodes. But for now, just understand that, yeah, that little boy or girl has a full emotional range from all of the things that we want to all the things that we don't.
Absolutely. And so as we start to dive into this, there's going to be quite a few different takes, and a lot of different big names have studied this concept of the unconscious mind, and they all have a different name, a different way of talking about it. So the way that we'll refer to it for the most part is either the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind. We may use those interchangeably, but know that we're talking about the same second thinking system in you.
Yeah, so that actually comes from two different ways of thought, which I think we both use. I mean, I have a lot of training in hypnosis, and there they call it the subconscious. And that comes from the idea that this part of you feels like it's beneath the surface. It's somehow under the water. Like if you imagine an iceberg, your conscious mind is the part of the iceberg that pokes up above the water, and that huge body of ice that you don't really see, that's the subconscious mind. Whereas you'll hear me refer to it always as the unconscious mind. That comes from neuro-linguistic programming, and Sophie and I have both extensively trained in this, and I used to teach it. So that's why it's kind of buried into my vocabulary. And the unconscious is simply called that way because it's important to know that it's just as important, if not much more important, than the conscious mind. And sometimes when you say subconscious, people can get the idea of, oh, it's like actually beneath in terms of a hierarchy or importance or strength or anything. And it's not at all. In fact, I come from the belief that the unconscious mind is exponentially more powerful than the conscious mind ever could be. And I primarily focus on that. I don't even really talk about the conscious mind.
Absolutely. And this is something that is just huge, huge, huge to understand. And there's this idea that 95% of who you are is unconscious. It is in your unconscious mind. And so 5%, only really about 5% of who you are is conscious. And it's this idea that the majority of what you do, I think it's about 70 to 80% of the thoughts, the behaviors, the actions that you have done today are the same ones that you enacted again yesterday and the day before that and the day before that and the day before that. And this is how you can start to understand what the unconscious mind is. It's this wiring, this kind of programming, this kind of conditioning that you've been living in for a multiple period of time. And here you are in this moment, still kind of just going through this routine where you're not even maybe even fully conscious of what's happening or why you're feeling the way you're feeling or what's going on. You're just going through it. It's just part of who you are.
Yeah. And so the latest statistics on that I've heard is that you have an average of 60,000 thoughts a day, both conscious and unconscious. And just about 99% of those thoughts are the same ones that you had yesterday. And so, yeah, that turns into your actions. About 70 to 80% of your actions are going to be the same. And they come from a very deep place in you, which is one of the reasons why if you've ever tried to change your behavior by just telling yourself that you're going to be different, you know, no, this time I'm going to be different. You go into this situation and boom, you're exactly the same because that's your conscious decision, but that's not where your behavior comes from. And so that's why it's really important to understand the differences, the responsibilities, if you were on, you know, what the conscious mind does and what the unconscious mind does. For example, your unconscious mind stores all of your memories. Right, all of your memories go into there, and it then holds all of the information that you use on a day-to-day basis, and it stores it in emotions and symbols. Now, this is really important, as you'll see in later episodes when we start changing the unconscious mind, because we've got to understand how it speaks to us, right? And just think about it. When you're in super, super, super deep dream, what is there? Really nothing but symbols and emotions. Just a quick contrast, your conscious mind speaks to you in logic and language. And that's why when you're in really deep dream, if you communicate with people, notice that there are no words. It's telepathic. And only when you get into shallower dreams can the conscious mind invade and there could be language. And actually, if you go shallow enough, you can actually speak in your sleep.
Yeah, and this is super, super interesting. And this brings up one of the second prime directives or responsibilities of the unconscious mind, which is really making associations and it's learning really, really quickly. And so what the unconscious mind is doing is it's taking some things that it already has memory or learning of and takes these new learnings and starts to make associations between what's happening in our outer world outside of us and what's happened inside of us, these internal memories.
Yeah, and so there you also understand that there is a processing. It's not simply a record of what you actually experience. Your unconscious mind does stuff with the information that it takes in, and we'll go actually over that a little bit later in this very episode, but it's important to realize that what's inside your unconscious is not a duplicate of what you've experienced. There are processes that it does on that information. And one of the things that it does as a rule in order to process that information is that it's going to take the path of least resistance. Your unconscious mind, remember that it wants to make life easy on you because it thinks evolutionarily, it thinks that easy is the same thing as survival. And so it wants to keep you alive. It wants to keep you healthy. So it's going to take the easiest way through whatever it sees. Now, this is a really critical concept because what your unconscious mind may think as the easiest way out may not be what you want, right? The easiest way out may be sitting on your couch all day and not doing anything instead of going to work, because going to work may bring up all sorts of pain or stress or fear. And that sounds like a lot of work to your unconscious mind. And so it interprets that as, that's a threat. Let's not do that. Stay here, eat that bag of Doritos, and watch TV all day.
Absolutely. And this actually ties beautifully in with one of the other big, big factors and responsibilities of the unconscious mind. And that is to preserve the body. And so really what the unconscious mind here is here to do, it's here to protect the body, to keep you alive, to make sure that you're safe. And this is absolutely crucial to understand, especially in the realm of new things. And so it's understanding that the familiar to the unconscious mind, because it's familiar, it's safe. And because of this mammal part in our brain, right, anything new is unknown. And if it's unknown, there could be potential threats around it. There could be fear. And our mammal brain is living in the world of lions, dinosaurs, tigers, and bears. So anything outside that is unknown, is unfamiliar, could be potentially dangerous and detrimental to the body. So what is the unconscious mind going to do whenever there's something that's unfamiliar and it doesn't look safe? It's going to find all of these reasons, all of these fears to avoid doing it, because it wants to stick with what's known, with what's familiar, with what's safe to help preserve the body.
Yeah, and there, remember that what your unconscious mind thinks is safe doesn't necessarily always line up with what you want. It'll look back and think, hey, we've been doing this thing for 5 years. Well, it must be safe if we've been doing it this whole time. So doing anything else, that sounds threatening. That sounds mysterious, and there could be monsters there. And so that's why sometimes it can be really hard to break a habit or do something big or change your life in a big way, because you've got to communicate with your unconscious mind first and let it know that this is a new path and this is actually really safe. And this is how people get stuck, because they forget to realize that their unconscious minds may be working against them, and that trying to stay stuck is its version of trying to be safe. And so that's why it also maintains your instincts and your habits. That's why your unconscious mind takes care of all these little habits, all these things that you've been doing for a long time, because it thinks, hey, this is what we know. And if this is what we know and we've survived so far, let's just keep doing this. Don't try anything different. Don't be anything different. Don't think anything different. Just do this. This has worked so far. And so we're going to teach you over these podcast episodes of how to change that so that your unconscious mind gets on the same page as the rest of you.
Yeah, and this is really, really big, because there's another really important concept to understand with the unconscious mind. And that's the idea that it actually, when there's massive emotional trauma, one of the things that the unconscious mind will do to protect the body when it's in the mode for survival, right? It can't deal with that emotional trauma when the body's in fear of like being hurt or attacked. So what the unconscious mind will do is it will repress those memories of unresolved issues, of unresolved trauma into the unconscious mind so that you can survive that current threat, whatever that is. Now, we'll go a lot deeper into the science of this right now, but just understand that there is this idea of your body going into fight or flight when you're living in a lot of stress. And we'll talk more about what that looks like and how that works in the future episodes. But what's happening is your unconscious mind is repressing these memories because it's too much to deal with in the present moment. And so what's also interesting is on the other end of this, what will happen is when the body is in a place where it's safe, where it's finally starting to feel, okay, I'm not stressed out anymore. I'm not under attack. I don't have to threat for my life. The unconscious mind will go ahead and bring back up those unresolved emotions, those unresolved feelings to become healed. And so this is what's interesting, where you'll notice sometimes that you've gone to a certain point in your life where you're like, yeah, life is great, all the success, all these things are happening. Why do I feel so shitty? Why am I starting to remember all of these traumas, all of this crap that happened 30 years ago that I haven't thought about in 20, 30 years? And part of that is understanding that your body is finally in a place where it feels safe enough, again, coming back to one of the other directives, where it feels safe enough to bring up these other repressed memories, unresolved emotions, to be healed so the body can fully heal, so the unconscious mind can fully heal.
Right. And the beauty of all this, by the way, is that all of these different functions can be triggered and can be used once you have the right strategy, once you have the right technique. For example, you don't need to wait until everything is great for your unconscious mind to go, here, this will F you up and have you deal with it now, yep. Right? We're going to give you some techniques and strategies so that you can do it ahead of time. So you can just clear that stuff out. And so when things get even better, they just stay even better. And your unconscious mind can just let you enjoy what's happening. And we do have a whole episode just on emotions coming up in case you do want to delve even deeper into what these things are and why they've been messing with you for a long time. And the last thing here that's really important about the unconscious mind is that it controls all your perceptions. And we do also have an entire episode just on what perception is, what are its components, what do we do with this thing, and how does it affect us? Emotions are a big part of that, by the way. But essentially, perceptions is that processing that your unconscious mind does with all of the raw information that it takes in from your environment so that it can put it in a way that you understand and that you agree with. And so your perceptions here will adjust your behavior, they'll adjust how you feel, they'll adjust all of your results. And a lot of the work that we're going to be doing together is all about changing your perceptions.
Yeah, absolutely. And so without diving too deep into some of the other topics, because I know we want to save a lot of these, there's so much to uncover. Let's talk a little bit more around really how the unconscious mind works and how it may be playing a part in your life. So let's talk a little bit about how this whole process works, how the whole concept of perception and really how the unconscious mind is really playing a part in our day-to-day lives.
Sure. So the first step here is taking in that raw information. There's so much stimulus going on around you. And so your unconscious mind takes in all this information through your five senses. So it'll take it in through your vision, your hearing, your auditory, your kinesthetics, that's your physical feelings, and it'll take it in through your sense of smell, your olfactory senses, and your sense of taste, your gustatory.
Yeah, and the big thing to understand here, this is where it gets fun and really, really interesting. So the outside world, right, there are about 2 to 4 million bits of information coming in through all of your senses every single second. That is a shit ton of information. So what's happening then is consciously, your conscious mind can only process about 136 bits of all of that information per second. So consciously, you're only able to really process such a minute portion of what's actually happening. So what you are processing consciously is determined by the filters that your unconscious mind is putting on.
And that's kind of crazy to think about it because I don't know about you. I mean, my world seems so full of stuff. You know, there's constantly something to look at or listen to or taste or feel. And to think that it's 0.0000, a bunch more zeros, 1% of reality is kind of mind-blowing. But that's really important to know because you got to remember that what you're experiencing now may just be your personal, unique experience in the universe. It's possible that no other human is experiencing or will ever experience anything that you're experiencing, even if you have someone else who's sitting there looking at the same movie or interpreting the same book. Or that really explains how two twins can be raised in a house by the same parents, and they're locked at the hip, right? They're going through everything, and yet they grow up to be completely different people. One person can grow up to be completely depressed and self-defeating, and the other person can have an amazing life. It's because they just had different filters.
Yeah, and this is really, really big to understand, and this is where we start to get into the idea of this concept of identity, and we'll dive more into this in future episodes. But for now, we'll just talk a little bit about the identity and what that's doing. It's the way that we view ourselves. It becomes almost like a mirror for the way that we view the world. And so based on our identity, we are either going to do one of three things with the information coming in. We are either going to delete it, we are going to distort it, or we are going to generalize. Meaning that if we have the identity or the belief system, right? Because our identity is made up of a few things. It's made up of our belief systems, our values, of all of these different aspects and memories in our lives. And so if we have the belief system that all men are bad, Dan, no offense to you.
We are. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
If we have the belief system that all men are bad and that the world is a terrible place, whatever is happening outside of us, whether it's somebody just handing us a bouquet of flowers, we're going to distort that information and say, well, he's just trying to get in my pants because he's a sleazy guy and all men are bad and the world is a terrible place. And we're going to delete any information that would show anything otherwise. Because one of the most powerful functions, one of the most powerful things in the human psychology is to be congruent with your identity. And so the unconscious mind will do everything in its power to create congruency between your inner world and your outer world, which is why this is one of the cornerstones of transformation.
Absolutely. And then after your unconscious mind settles on the information that it is going to stick with, after it does all these processes, distorting, deleting, generalizing, it's going to store this information inside of your mind using what's called an internal representation. Internal, obviously, because it's happening within your mind, and representation because, again, with the information that you're storing is not reality. It is your version of reality that has been filtered down so that it's tiny, tiny little piece and then modified by your own mind. And so you have this internal representation that's stored using those symbols that your unconscious mind uses to communicate. So you may store information with visual symbols, by pictures and colors, movies and all sorts of moving things, and maybe 3D or flat. They may have color be black and white. They have all sorts of different elements there. Or you may store information in terms of sounds. My brother's a musician, and so he didn't really visualize all that much, but his auditory memory, his auditory processing is ridiculous. He stores so many things in terms of chords, sound effects, people talking, all sorts of different sounds. Then there are some people who are the real touch and feely people. They're kinesthetics. They love the feeling that they get in their bodies. They need to hold something. They tend to be huggers, right? Because they want to feel you. They love to have really soft things on their bodies. And so they also store information very powerfully through the way that it feels in their bodies. Now, those are the three main ones. Of course, there are people who store primarily smells and tastes. And those people tend to be the master chefs of the world or the sommeliers. But this tends to be something like 0.2%, some ridiculously small percent of the population. Now, everybody else, sure, we do store information in terms of smells and tastes, but just not as powerfully. Although I think you probably had the experience of walking into a kitchen and smelling fresh baked cookies and have your whole body respond to it, right? You just kind of, ugh. God, that smells so good, right? Or walking into a candle store.
My mouth's watering right now, yeah.
That's great. Right? Exactly. That's because your mind has stored information and associated it. There's an internal representation that has to do with that smell or with that taste or with any of your other five senses.
Yeah, and this is really, really big because what's actually happening then is when your unconscious mind go ahead and it creates that image is marked with a chemical that creates an emotional feeling. And that emotion is what creates your state of being in that moment. And so it's understanding that however these things coming in, this information coming in from your external world, coming in through the filters of your unconscious mind, matching and mirroring the IR, the internal representation, or your identity of yourself based off of your beliefs, based off of your values, based off of the way that you've grown up and so much more, coming in and creating a certain chemical signature to create your emotional state. That emotional state is thus then going to influence the way that you behave. Now, although the way that we think is one very, very powerful component, the other massively important component to remember here is your physiology, because your state is influenced, yes, by your thinking, but also by your physiological state. And this is something that oftentimes we forget to really take into context. Because, again, if you're somebody, or if you know somebody, because obviously all of you listening on this are amazing, amazing people, and you would never be one of those people, that has a lot of substance abuse, you're going to have a very, very hard time trying to overthink the physiological changes that are happening when you're putting a certain substance into your body. It's going to take over the way that you're thinking. And so it's so, so important to become aware of the physiological changes and the physiological influences that your body is having on your mind. Because just as much as you can influence your state with your thinking, your state is also influenced with your body and how you're feeling. So this is really, really big.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just to give you a couple of examples, just to put this into like real world context for you, I know you've probably felt the stress relief that you get from working out or even just taking a walk or just kind of moving your body. You know, if you've been sitting there racking your brain to try to get an answer, you know, you're getting stressed out and it's just not coming, just not coming, just not coming. And then you get up, you go take a walk or you go take a shower or maybe even go eat something, right? So your body changes, your physiology changes, and all of a sudden you feel differently. And all of a sudden, whoop, the answer comes popping right into your head. And so you can see this with people as well. When people get really stressed out, this is real clear to see that their bodies respond, right? That their posture might be changed, that they may be acting frenetically, they might be ticking and tapping, they might have their eyes wide open. And so you can see that this emotion has been affecting their physiology, but also their physiology is affecting their emotions as well. Because then if you just straighten out a little bit, stop the tapping, take a couple deep breaths, maybe even just sit in a quiet room and listen to music, that all of a sudden that emotion can wash away. And so it's really important to know that there is this cycle that the mind affects the body affects the mind, and the most powerful way to affect your state is by going through both, changing the way you think and changing your physiology at the very same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is so, so powerful because then the emotional state that you're in, that state of being, is what will affect and or infect, depending on the emotional state, your behaviors and actions that you take. And so if you're coming, we'll use two examples here. If you're coming from an emotional state of joy, of excitement, of just totally ready to kick ass, right? And that's just your state. You feel awesome. You're excited. You're thinking positively. And you go out to do a job. You are going to do it in a way where you're executing this type of energy, these emotional states. And you're going to do it so much more enthusiastically and enjoy it so much more. Whereas somebody doing the same exact job were to come in from an emotional state, and we'll use a state of frustration and anger and feeling like, why do I have to be here? And these are the thought processes that they're running, and they're not happy about it. And they're tired because they haven't slept in 3 days, and they're hungry because they haven't eaten. That emotional state is going to drastically affect the actions and behaviors that that person takes. And so they're going to be acting and behaving from a place of hunger, from a place of hostility, a place of anger, a place of frustration. And that is going to influence and affect the results that they get and what they can experience in their external world.
A real easy couple of things that you can do just to experience this yourself. The next time you start feeling stressed out or into some sort of emotional funk or just a negative emotion, you start angry, sad, afraid, or whatever, just stop what you're doing, stand up, and just shake and bounce your body for like 10 seconds. And just see how you feel different. That's really all it takes. And you can notice that whatever you're feeling starts to lift. And then you may find that, yeah, when you return to doing what you were doing, you approach it in a different way, exactly like you were saying, Sophie, that the state that we're in when we approach a task determines how we do the task and therefore determines our results. So we can tweak that. We can change it even through very small habits. Now, sometimes this can go the wrong way because we may feel like we need to change our state physically in order to get into a different emotion. And that can lead you down, like you were saying, it can lead you down into substance or just food. You know, how many times have we felt that, oh, you know, I feel like crap. Let me go eat, right? Let me just go eat a lot of this comfort food. and that'll make me feel better, right? And it can lead us into, it doesn't need to be necessarily dangerous or illegal behavior, but it can lead us down a road of using things as crutches. For example, instead of just learning how to change our states ourselves, and we're going to give you a mess of tools of how to change your state so that no matter what's going on in your life, you can stay empowered and you can stay in that creative, joyful, blissful state that'll bring you the most success and happiness in your life.
Absolutely. And I think this is the most beautiful thing to tie this all together is what is happening in your external world. The majority of the world believes that 97% of everything that's happening outside of them is affecting who they are. When the truth is, only about 3% of the world, unfortunately, at this point, really understand this, that who you are actually affects the way that you experience the world and the experiences that you have. And so it's understanding that there's this concept of living at cause or living at effect. And if you are living with a belief that everything outside of you is determining who you are and why you are the way you are and why you feel the way you feel, and that you have no control and no cannot take any ownership or responsibility for who you are and how you're feeling, then you are living at effect. And it will be a very, very interesting road to try and change, because you are waiting for something outside of you to change in order for you to make the change inside of you. So this is really the process and the invitation that I would like to put out to all of you listening right now, to recognize that the majority of transformation starts with you taking ownership, taking responsibility, and realizing that you do not have to live at effect of the rest of the world. In fact, you can actually cause an effect on the rest of the world by stepping into your own power, by realizing that you have 100% responsibility, capability, privilege to transform yourself internally first, and then influence your external world, your external results, and everything that you experience outside of you.
Yeah. And so do that for yourself right now. Just make that commitment. Mentally, just form that as a solid step towards changing whatever you want to change in your life, or accomplishing the goals that you've got, is that you're going to take full responsibility, realizing that the world happens inside of your head. You know, listen to this episode again if you really want to go over the mechanics, but you can see that time and time again, your unconscious mind is processing, filtering, changing, doing all these things to the outside world. So really what you experience, what you think is the outside world for you is not. It's your inside world. And so the only way to change that is by taking responsibility for it. Look, you're doing it anyway. Whether you know it or not, you're doing it. And the only way to change what you're doing is to take responsibility for doing it. And it's okay. It's all right to admit that there are things in your life that you don't want to have, you didn't mean to cause, and you would love to get rid of. And we're going to. But the first step was understanding that you do have an unconscious mind, that it is happening by you every single second. And we're going to go over some other very important concepts and some very important players in changing your unconscious mind in the upcoming episodes. The very next one being all about emotions. So come on back and continue mastering your mind with us.
And we will see you all on the next episode. Bye, guys.